This spring's massive fish kill in the Indian River Lagoon has been linked to fertilizer use. How to blend a nice yard with a safe environment. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham. With growing concerns about pesticides and where our food comes from, more people are growing their own produce right in their own yard. This edible landscaping has become the basis for some businesses. Florida Matters' Daylena Miller takes us to a farm in Spring Hill, where a landscaping business grows loquat trees, lettuce, and more to sell to Floridians in the Tampa Bay and beyond.
At Sand Hills Farm in rural Hernando County, Ian Bonas drives a motorized cart to two towering piles of compost and mulch. He scoops compost into a plastic bin. He needs it to plant a new species of banana tree. And if it grows well, it might get planted into a client's yard. There are 36 varieties of bananas at the nearly 7-acre farm and so much more. Pete Canaris is the founder of Green Dreams, a landscaping company that helps clients grow their own food. He owns Sand Hills Farm, and it serves as both a nursery and a testing ground for plants he recommends to clients.
So we're really just learning to work with nature out here. We have almost 750 fruit trees in the ground. It's a research site.
Canaris says when he first started Green Dreams, edible landscaping was almost unheard of. Now, 6 years later, homeowners all over the state call him to plant peach trees, lettuce, herbs, and other vegetables. He's using principles of permaculture, which mimics natural ecosystems.
I've really tried to take my background with standard landscape, you know, and the permaculture and really kind of mash the two together.
Occasionally, a client meets some resistance from their homeowners association, which may insist on certain types of grassy lawns. A little-known Florida law overrides some of these HOA bylaws. Canaris and his landscaping team know which low-maintenance plants qualify for a Florida-friendly landscape. They work with the homeowner to figure out which ones meet their needs and also those of the HOA. Canaris provides a service that homeowners might hesitate to do themselves, according to Del Deschamps, a professor at the University of South Florida who studies agriculture. He says many Floridians are not familiar with local policies.
Folks are not informed, they're not aware of what can be grown, what the growing seasons are, and because they're hesitant to engage in urban agriculture because of fear of violation of municipal policies or county policies or state laws or something like that.
Landscapers aren't the only ones cashing in on edible landscaping. So-called urban farmers are also starting businesses. Jim Kovaleski of Newport Ritchie says that on half an acre of land, he grows hundreds of different types of vegetables, which he sells at the local farmers market.
You know, I am impressed that I'm probably feeding, you know, for leafy greens, probably, 7,500 families during the winter here.
The garden in his yard, which he calls Freedom House Farm, is his sole source of income.
You know, I'm taking care of land in an urban setting, and it's taking care of me.
Local realtors refer to Kovaleski's neighborhood as the Garden District because of how his urban garden has caught on with his neighbors. There are now 8 front yard gardens, some of which Kovaleski manages. Deschamps says until about the 1920s, home gardens were the norm. Then public policy began separating towns and cities into residential, industrial, and commercial zones.
And those zones, through zoning practices, were not allowed to be integrated. The idea was seen to separate those out. What that did was, in practice, break up the community, break up economic activity, and introduce a series of prohibitions on lively economic activities that would go on in specific areas.
Pete Canaris of Green Dreams hopes more people go back to their roots with home gardens. He says homeowners can have a yard that not only looks good, but tastes good too. For Florida Matters, I'm Daylena Miller.
Here in the studio to help us sort out best practices for healthy, interesting, and even edible home landscapes are Stephen Grand, the Hillsborough County Extension Director, and Eric Stewart, the manager of the Habitat for Humanity Garden Project in Newport Ritchie, and a proponent and teacher of edible landscaping. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen, the dangers of fertilizer use have been in the news lately, most recently because of Indian River Lagoon, which had the worst fish kill in its history this spring. There's no one reason for the die-off, but one of the problems that scientists point to is the buildup of nutrients in the water from fertilizer. So much of the Tampa Bay area does have fertilizer ban in place for the summer, right?
Correct. Most of the municipalities and counties have some sort of fertilizer regulation in place, some of which do contain a ban.
So what can homeowners do to keep things growing and green without the use of nitrogen and phosphorus, which is the ban, fertilizer ban?
One way to keep things green is by applying iron application that helps to green up the plant material. And then prior to the ban, a slow-release fertilizer containing all of the appropriate nutrients would hopefully get that lawn through the ban period and still be healthy and productive.
So the worry for that ban period, the summer months, is all the rainfall and the fact that the water will just wash the fertilizer into the Tampa Bay or to the bodies of water.
Correct. It all comes down to improper fertilizer application, where maybe a homeowner or a professional would put fertilizer out and it would land on an impervious surface, which then is more likely to be washed into our stormwater system.
In other words, getting the fertilizer on your sidewalk.
Correct.
Is what you're saying. Okay, so the problem with the nitrogen and the phosphorus is that it feeds the algae.
Correct.
Which then can suffocate the fish life.
Yeah, and causes potentially causes the fish kill.
Eric, you teach people edible landscaping. Describe what that is.
Just the integration of edible food into your property. You can integrate it with your normal landscaping. You could put like herbs like basil or mint into your landscaping, or a fruit tree. Put a fruit tree rather than an ornamental tree. There's lots of shrubs that you could grow, like blueberries grow great here in Florida, or up where I'm at in Pasco. Peaches are a wonderful fruit you can grow here, and it could be a part of your landscape, but it also could be producing food for you as well.
Okay, so what kinds of things could you grow in the summer? I can see that happening a lot in the winter months, but in the summer, what can you use for edible landscaping?
So what I normally typically tell people is to look at where in the world are hot, humid places. I usually look at plants that are like in India, in Southeast Asia, China. I'm kind of experimenting with all sorts of different plants. Like right now we're growing a plant called Malabar spinach. It's a spinach that loves hot heat, and it grows, it trellises up, it vines, and you can just pluck the leaves off and eat it just like spinach. There's different plants that grow in the heat that they just thrive and they grow really great, but they're not normally what you would be finding at the grocery store because they don't normally grow that in this area at this time of year.
So where do you find those kind of, they sound a little bit exotic. Where do you find those plants?
Well, the seeds, typically I get them online. You could get them from other growers like Amazon. Some people are reselling their seeds. You could get it from Johnny Seeds. There's several seed companies out there that are selling. Kizwana Seeds is like an Asian type of seed company. They deal with more Asian varieties of vegetables. And there's several different varieties. I think just a good Google search and you can find a lot of this stuff. But there's a lot of citizens that are starting up like their own community gardens mm-hmm. and groups where this idea of mutual aid, everyone's coming together, they're sharing seeds, sharing knowledge. So depending on where you are in Tampa Bay area, like I know there's some people in St. Pete, they have a Pinellas Gardening Collective. In Clearwater, there's a couple of church community gardens. In Tampa, Hillsborough area, there's community gardens. So a lot of these places are places where if you interact with the other gardeners, you'll learn by experience, and they have seed swaps, plant shares. Mm-hmm. That's the best way of getting knowledge, is from other gardeners that have experienced over the years what grows and what doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Stephen, what's meant by Florida-friendly gardening?
It is all about putting the right plant in the right place. We often talk about, we want drought-resistant plants. Well, drought resistance is really good in a place where you have no access to water, or maybe in a street in a road median, something like that. But there are places where drought resistant is not the most appropriate. You know, for instance, my mother lives in an area where there's a very nice wet area behind her house, and she sought out plants that were more appropriate for wetlands. So it's all about identifying those plants that would need the least amount of maintenance in whatever appropriate area of your yard. There are plants that are identified as Florida friendly, for instance, and those you can look on the labels at the different stores, the big box stores, to identify those that would be.
And you can trust that?
Yes, I believe you can trust it.
Can you?
Yes.
If it says Florida friendly, it's not a marketing ploy.
No, that it's not. Florida friendly is actually a trademarked term, but they use it. Sometimes it's used generically to identify those plants that are more appropriate for our region.
In Delina's piece, we heard Del Deschamps, the USF professor, say that people are not growing their own food because, in part, they're worried about running up against local laws and ordinances. Stephen, do they have a reason to be worried? What do you say to those who are thinking about growing fruit and vegetables in their yard and worried about violating some sort of ordinance?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is go out and get educated on how to grow those things in Florida. But second, in terms of rules and regulations, for the most part, I believe that it really only applies, or a lot of the rules and regulations would be in homeowners associations, because many times there's deed restrictions related to how your landscaping is supposed to look. And if you get a foul of the landscaping committee in your HOA, many times they can force you to change your landscaping to what their requirements are. But in terms of rules and regulations by the county or municipal government, if you are growing fruits and vegetables for your own consumption, to my knowledge, there's no rules and regulations that would affect that. When you start growing fruits and vegetables or other products to then sell, that's when there may be some rules and regulations that come into place. It could be a zoning rule. It could be some type of rule related to reselling a product. Okay. So people should just be aware that when it gets to the point where they are wanting to maybe take things to a local market or otherwise sell their products, that's where there might be some rules and regulations.
We're speaking with Stephen Grand, Hillsborough County's Extension Office Director, and Eric Stewart, who manages the gardening project in Newport Richey for Habitat for Humanity. Coming up,
aloe vera grows super easy, and it's so useful. You can make drinks out of it. You can make skin lotions, whatever you like.
That's just ahead. I'm Robin Sussingham. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sussingham. Our guests are Stephen Grand, Hillsborough County's Extension Office Director, and Eric Stewart, who manages the gardening project in Newport Richey for Habitat for Humanity and teaches classes on edible gardening. We're talking about environmentally responsible, but also productive and attractive residential landscaping. Eric, what's composting, and what's the advantage to that?
I would consider compost biological material that's kind of been broken down to be more like plant food. So we gather mulch from local resources. We gather weeds from our garden. We have chickens, so we use the manure from the chickens. And I learned a lot from taking a master gardener's program about the ratio. There's a certain ratio of brown material, which is rich in carbon, and green material, which is rich in nitrogen, and you want to get that ratio right in your compost mix, and you want to get a big enough pile where it can get hot in the center from all of the biological activity. And basically, you're feeding the microorganisms. They break up all of the organic matter, and then that turns into plant food that the plants can then eat. And then you also get bugs and worms and all those goodies that help the soil. The idea in natural or organic gardening is we're not feeding the plants. We're feeding the soil. The soil microorganisms are going to do all of our work for us. I like to say I'm a lazy gardener. I like to make the worms work for me rather than work on tilling and all that other stuff. So I love to make compost. I was actually, when I got here before earlier, I was turning some compost. You have to turn it regularly and water it. And I would, if you want to learn more about compost, I would definitely refer you to Master Gardeners. They have great little presentations where they'll teach you a good 30-minute, hour-long course on how to make your own compost. There's a ratio, though. You want to have, I believe it's 31. Am I correct?
That sounds right, yes.
30 carbon to 1 nitrogen. So if you kitchen waste is very rich in nitrogen. Right. So you want to add carbon, something like cardboard, newspaper clippings, mulch, anything with carbon in it. And that will make the mix that you can then make compost.
In our extension office in Hillsboro, we offer once a month what we call our triple workshops, and one of those workshops is all about vermicomposting, which is composting with worms. And when you attend that workshop, you also leave with a kit on how great, you know, it gives you all the materials on how to do it.
Getting back to that idea of edible landscaping and rules and regulations, what if there isn't necessarily an ordinance, but you just want to be a good neighbor? I'm thinking of, you know, someone who lives downtown, has a small yard, you know, pretty dense population there. You know, should they be growing corn or sunflowers? Or, I mean, you know, when is it too much?
Well, I think being a good neighbor is always a good idea. You should probably think about those plant materials that might somehow be maybe obstructive to your neighbor, if they might attract maybe insects that your neighbors may not appreciate. Maybe don't put those on the property line. Keep those more interior to your property. I think it's maybe a little bit of common sense on where to place different plant materials so they might not
go overboard.
Exactly. Don't go overboard on anything, and grow what you can consume, and then share with your neighbors. If you share with your neighbors, they're also less, they're going to appreciate what you're doing, and
they'll complain less.
Yeah, complain a lot less.
I would love to chime in and just say I am what not to do. I was a gardener learning, and I was experimenting at my house, and now my house, after a couple years of gardening, is like a jungle. It's a little bit overgrown.
Do you live in town?
I live in the suburbs in Holiday, just south of Newport Richey, north of Tarpon Springs. Originally, I got a small bed. I did like a 4x4 raised garden bed. And then it grew into the point where I was so inspired, I just did my whole front yard. It's all mulched. It's like 3 feet higher than normal because I've just added layers of mulch and compost. And I've had my different experiences. I like to think, you know, I like to keep it clean and neat and more aesthetic. But I also like to grow a lot of food that I can share with other people. I have a lot of trees that create food out of their leaves. So people will look at them and they're like, why is this big tree here? Well, it's a moringa tree. It's a tree where you can eat the leaves, and it's a very nutritious tree. I eat it every single day, and I share it with people, and people kind of give me like, what is this tree? What is he trying to sell me? But if you share the fruit and the vegetables with your neighbors, they tend to really enjoy it a lot more. I actually got a lot of free labor done by sharing mulberries with the neighborhood kids. I had these mulberries from my tree. I said, I needed some weeds pulled. I needed some compost moved. Would you like to help out? And I'll give you mulberries. And I got a great deal on getting some help in my garden, too, by sharing the fruits.
Are you advising people just not even to buy citrus trees right now?
Well, the citrus greening, you know, it's not a matter of if you're going to get it. It's when. And, you know, right now, until we have some new varieties that are more resistant to greening, you know, it is problematic to plant one in your landscape where, you know, within 5 years you're going to have greening in that tree, and then the fruit is, you know, less desirable.
So, you know, most people are really busy, and unless they're plant enthusiasts, you know, they want a yard that A, does not annoy the neighbors, and B, makes the house look nice and increases the property value. So what are a couple pieces of advice that you would give to those homeowners? They want to do things right as far as the environment, but they don't have the time or the inclination to go all out.
I like to tell people to start small and don't go too big too fast. Start in a container. You can make a 5-gallon bucket into a garden. You can drill a hole into it and put some compost, and you can start a container garden. And I also try to tell people certain plants that I know are bulletproof that you could give it to them, and like they would have to try really hard to kill it, like totally neglect it. Like there's things that I love to give people. Mint. Mint is something that you could put in almost any meal, and it's so super easy to grow. It just needs a lot of water. It likes wet feet. Like we were talking about different plants in different places. This is a type of plant you would put near a wet area rather than a dry area. Aloe vera grows super easily. And, you know, it's so useful. You can make drinks out of it. You can make skin lotions, whatever you would like. So I like to try and teach people really easy, bulletproof plants. And then as you have more time, maybe you could allocate that towards more. There's a lot of other plants like the annuals that we were talking about. They take a little bit more maintenance. You have to take them out. You have to plant them. Whereas some plants, you can just plant it and it just constantly grows, like the mint. It just constantly grows.
Stephen, a couple pieces of advice.
Well, I would agree with what Eric said. You know, start small. That's important. I would definitely learn the growing seasons that we have in Florida. Our growing seasons are different than anywhere else in the United States. And at first, you know, try to stick with those with the meat of the growing season. Like if you're growing tomatoes in our area, it's probably a good idea to plant after when you think the last frost is in the spring, maybe, you know, in a February time frame. Don't try to deviate from what is the recommended season. But then as you get more experienced, then you can start spreading yourself out a little bit, try to be more diverse in the products, you know, that you're growing, and you know, try to grow more in the heat of the summer. Try to figure out some of those different vegetables that'll grow in the summer, like okra. Okra will grow pretty well in the summer.
So learn what grows when.
Yes, exactly.
What is the best kind of grass to use? St. Augustine, Bermuda, Zoysia, Centipede?
For a low maintenance use, you know, Bahia grass is certainly an acceptable type of grass. If you have the resources and you know, to be able to water and maintain a grass, then St. Augustine and Zoysias and so forth, they can be appropriate. There's always a appropriate place for, you know, any types of these plants. I don't like to say that a specific plant is bad because it requires more maintenance. It's
But I'm hearing something in your voice talking about sod. What is it? What's your hesitation?
In our classes, we do teach replacing sod with other types of ground cover, whether it's, you know, some sort of perennial peanut or jasmine, you know, type of ground cover. So yes, I mean we do promote the idea of replacing sod with other landscape materials, ground covers, edible landscape, and so forth. Again, how much you as a homeowner want to put into, you know, maintaining your landscape. You know, many people think that sod is the low maintenance landscape where, you know, if you do it correctly with, you know, other landscape materials, shrubs and other perennials, you are able to actually create a less intensive landscape that's easier to maintain with proper mulching and so forth.
So it sounds like your advice, number one, would be use less grass.
In many cases, that would be the good advice. Not in all cases, though.
I think it comes down to a personal preference. You know, I know people that just love grass. They love that crisp green lawn, and that's a cultural thing. It's something that in our American culture, you know, you're the king of the castle and you have this lawn in front. And I think something to think about culture-wise, if you look maybe 200, 300 years ago, this idea of grass, that was for kings, for lords, you know, people that owned acres and acres. The normal average person would have a garden. They wouldn't have they would have a landscape that was useful. And to me, I don't personally, grass has certain uses. Like if you have kids, you want a place to hang out with your kids and play on the lawn. To me, the landscape, when I look at a landscape, I want it to be useful to me. I want it to have a use, and I want it to be low maintenance. And I believe there's a way where you can balance it. You know, I've seen some beautiful lawns that were in HOAs that had edible landscaping, Florida-friendly landscaping, but they also had a little patch of grass too. So I think you can balance it, and it's all personal preference.
What's next in residential landscaping?
I am personally really excited. I live in Newport Richey, and we have like the perfect people, the perfect government kind of coming in, and the perfect situation where there's been an explosion of urban market gardeners. So we have a library that has provided us with a seed library where you can go to our library in Newport Richey and pick up seeds to start your garden. We have the master gardeners that are working with the library too. They do classes at the library. And we have a what's called a Tasty Tuesday. Every Tuesday during the day, they have a farmer's market that the library hosts. And for free, you can go there and you can set up a table and you can sell your products that you grow in your own backyard. And so when it first started 3 years ago, there's like two gardeners. Now we have consistently 10 to 12 market gardeners, or also what's coming up in now is cottage food. The Florida passed the cottage food law, right, where there's certain products you can create at home, and you, if you label them correctly, you can sell them to the public. And so I feel like entrepreneurism out of your yard is such a cool concept, and I think that that's going to come closer and closer. I've known a lot of people who are making their whole lifestyle just growing food and selling it at farmers markets. And I've been transforming my life towards that. And it's kind of brought me to connect more with my community. I interact with a lot of people, and people really, that we've gotten away from loving food, I think. We've kind of loved cheap processed food, but there's kind of this renaissance going on. People want good quality food. And so at these farmers markets, everyone's talking about growing, everyone's talking about cooking, what recipes they're doing. So there's this renaissance of culture that I am enthusiastic about. And I think it will come out of people creating products out of their yards and selling them at farmers markets.
We've been speaking with Stephen Gran, Hillsborough County's Extension Office Director, and Eric Stewart, who manages the gardening project in Newport Richey for Habitat for Humanity. Stephen and Eric, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's it for today's show. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, or you can send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. Florida Matters was produced by Daylena Miller and is a production of WUSF Public Media. Our engineer is Craig George. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.